As promised, the lesson this evening is on prayer. We have been going through the parables of Jesus. We just did the parable of the Good Samaritan last week. This week, we're going to continue in chapter 11. Okay. Chapter 11. And that's the first few verses there. We're going to consider verses 1 through 13 and the parable of the friend at midnight. In studying these parables, we've seen how Jesus, he used this way of teaching with parables to teach on different subjects. Most of the time, or at least so far we've seen, especially in the book of Matthew, that the theme is the kingdom of heaven in some aspect or another. We also see that he often responds to various questions that his disciples or perhaps other people ask. We saw that last week with the parable of the Good Samaritan. We see it again this week. This one is related to prayer, and we see this in verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So, when he was done praying, they saw that he was praying, he had gone to a certain place, they saw that he was praying, then one of his disciples asked, I see you pray. You pray often, and we'll talk about what the Bible says about his prayer life, but you pray often. And we want to know, how do you do it? You know, we've heard how these other people do it. We see how these other people do it. We might have had lessons on it to some extent or another. But Lord, what do you say about prayer? What do you say about prayer? And how might we be able to do better at this? In answering this request, Jesus did three things. First, he told them how and what to pray for, as we see in verses 2 through 4. Then he tells a parable, we see, in verses 5 through 8, to stress one of the elements of how to pray. And so we'll consider that this evening as well. And finally, in verses 9 through 13, he follows it up by elaborating a little bit more on what this parable was designed to show, what it was designed to illustrate. So, as I said before, this is the parable that some call the friend at midnight. And again, it's recorded in verses 5 through 8. Well, we'll consider the surrounding verses for the context here so we can get a better understanding of what Jesus is trying to teach. One of the primary points that he's trying to illustrate here is the importance of being persistent in our prayers. Sweet hour of prayer. How often do we carve out an hour of our day just to sit and pray? Did you think to pray? Well, I pray we do. You know, Rick says that this is a praying congregation, and I believe that. But sometimes we might let that slip. And we need to pray. We need to continue praying. Pray without ceasing. What a friend we have in Jesus. Take these things to him in prayer. We note this first point here, that Jesus was praying. When he was praying, this prompted a question, a request. He'd been praying in a particular place, we see. We don't know exactly where, but we know that he prayed often, as we'll see. In the gospel accounts, we see the prayer habits of Jesus in several places. In Mark 1:35, he rises early to pray in a solitary place to the extent that people are wondering where he is, and people have to go search for him. He often withdraws to the wilderness, it says in Luke 5 and verse 16, before selecting his disciples in Luke chapter 6. We note that he prays all night in preparation for this big decision. Of course, we do see an actual recorded prayer of his in John 17, often called his high priestly prayer. We, of course, see his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Take this cup from me if it be your will. Not my will, but yours be done. We see in Matthew 26 and in some other places. And of course, his prayers on the cross that he gives in Matthew 27 and Luke 23. we see some glimpses of his prayer life and how he prayed in various situations. And undoubtedly, his example had an impact on those who saw him praying. Of course, often he would withdraw by himself to do that, but sometimes people would hear that and people would see that. And they want to know, how do you pray like that? This is wonderful prayers people might have heard. The disciples might have heard him pray and says, this is great. We need to learn how to do this. A disciple, then, we don't know which one. It says, one of his disciples said to him, teach us how to pray. Teach us to pray. And so John had taught his disciples, and certainly a Jewish disciple, of course, would know how to pray in some sense. But looking at how Jesus did it, there must have been something different, must have been something special about it. So we'll consider this prayer here in chapter 11, verses 2 through 4. This isn't exactly a prayer. This is what we often call the model prayer. Some call it the Lord's Prayer. You know, that's what some say. I don't think this is a prayer that he said specifically, but this is an outline, essentially, of how we ought to pray. We certainly can learn a lot from it. In fact, in Matthew's account, we see in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus says, in this manner, or in other words, pray like this. You don't have to say these exact words, but pray like this, in this manner. This is a pattern, not necessarily something that needs to be recited every time we want to say a prayer. There's nothing wrong with saying this prayer anyway, if you would like to say it at some point in your life. But remember that this is not necessarily something that we must do. But we ought to pray like this, because that's the lesson that we have here. And reading these three verses here in Luke chapter 11, he says, so he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So, you know, that there are a few differences. If you have the one in Matthew 6 memorized, there are some differences that we see in these two, but they're largely the same. This is the kind of template that we can have for our prayers. We see that this is, there are two ways in which we see here. We see the how and the what of prayer here, how we ought to pray. One word that might describe this is simplicity. It's a simple prayer, isn't it? It's a simple prayer. There's a word, therefore. Therefore, when you pray, pray in this manner. We see in Matthew 6, 9. It connects this with what we see previously in verses 7 and 8. And in verse 7 and 8 of Matthew chapter 6, it reads, And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need before you ask of him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Then he goes into what we consider the model prayer. What is the model prayer? Simplicity. Doesn't have to be many words. Doesn't have to be ornate. Doesn't have to be fancy. Doesn't have to be amazing. Simple. Simple. We don't need vain repetitions or anything like that. Those are the kinds of prayers that the disciples were used to hearing people say, were these wild, ornate prayers, using big words, long prayers out in public. But that's not what we necessarily need to do. Jesus' pattern for prayer is an illustration, we see. It's an illustration in contrast to the many words used by the Pharisees and by many others. In the prayer itself, we note how short it is. Just three short verses. That's amazing, isn't it? Just three short verses. We also note the what we ought to pray for here. It includes several things. It includes glorifying God, hallowing His name, glorifying His name, His being, His character. We see at the beginning of verse 2, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Not necessarily the names directly, but what the name represents. And what the name represents is God Himself. Hallowed be Him. Praise Him. Glorify Him. Then we see a little bit later that we also ought to pray for the progress of God's kingdom and His will on earth. That's what we pray for when we pray for our evangelistic efforts. That's one of the things that we pray for, His kingdom. His kingdom, we understand, is His church. And so, as we pray for the kingdom, that His will be done in His kingdom, then that means that we want His will to be done overall, that we want Him to reign over us. We also, in verse 3, ought to ask for the things that we need physically, our physical necessities. Give us this day our daily bread, or give us day by day our daily bread. We do need, we are human beings. We are flesh and we need to eat. We have certain needs that we have, necessities, and so we ought to pray for them and recognize our dependence on Him for these things. You know, in our culture, it's easy to say we typically know, most of us anyway, know where our next meal is coming from, but many people don't, and we ought to recognize how blessed we are by the Lord to rest on that amazing blessing that we have, to know that we are taken care of. Pray for our physical necessities. Also pray for our spiritual needs. We see in verse 4, "Forgive us our sins and lead us not to temptation." This is the forgiveness of sins as we forgive others. And that's also so very important, and a major point that he brings up in Matthew chapter 6. But here we also see protection from deliverance, protection and deliverance from evil. And that's a good thing too. That's helping us not to fall to sin, not to fall to temptation. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus chose to follow his pattern of prayer with an emphasis on forgiving others, as I mentioned earlier, in chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. But on this occasion, he chooses a different focus. And so he follows this with a particular parable, this model prayer. And so we see this in verses 5 through 8. So let's read that now. "And he said to them, 'Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, "Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you." I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." Has that ever happened to you? Someone comes in the middle of the night, you've got your family, you got your kids, they're asleep in the bed, and someone comes to you in the middle of the night and says, "Hey, I need some help." Well, a couple things might go through your mind whenever that happens. A couple things might go through your mind. Why is this person bothering me? It's so late. This is my time. I need to be at home. I've already got the kids in bed. You might have a dog. You woke the dog. You woke the kids. I just got them to sleep, especially if you got a baby. I mean, those babies, it takes a minute to get them back to sleep sometimes. Does that ever happen? And yet, we don't exactly particularly enjoy that. We want to sleep. Leave me alone, I'm trying to sleep. But if somebody does that, typically there's a reason for it, right? And most people recognize that that's not exactly a time that you do that sort of thing. unless it's an emergency. And so you might get up and be like, oh man, I can't. But he's obviously trying to get to us. Have you ever had a phone call from someone you didn't really want to talk to at that moment? And then they called a second time, like, it's probably important. So you picked it up. I might be telling on myself. I'm sorry. But the persistence is there, right? If somebody is persistent, then they might get through. Someone is persistent. There it is. The parable, you know, in this particular situation, it's late. And he and his family are already in bed. But it's not because this is his friend who needs help, but because of his persistence that he'll help. That persistence is something that we ought to have in our prayers as well. The point of the parable here is simple. It's so important, though. We need to be persistent in our prayers. One does not know how to pray, then, unless they are also persistent, unless they continue in such prayers. Pray every day. Paul said that he prayed for a particular thing to be taken from him for three times. Now, we might consider that persistent. We might not. I don't know. But the Lord did come to him directly and said, I'm not going to do that. My grace is sufficient for you. On the other hand, we don't know. He doesn't directly tell us these things. And so we ought to pray and pray and pray. But ultimately, we ought to trust in him, because ultimately, his grace is sufficient for us. The importance of persistence, again, is stressed even further later on in this passage here. In verses 9 through 13, let us consider what Jesus says here. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, this passage here is very similar to something that we read in Matthew chapter 7, later on in the Sermon on the Mount. And here, Luke or Jesus is trying to emphasize this point of persistence, to ask, to seek, and to knock. And if you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, those doors will be open to you. And it's used in this present tense, the idea of asking, seeking, knocking. You can, as we talked about earlier, that progressive present tense, the idea of continuing to ask. He is asking. He is, or keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Keep doing it. Don't let up. Be persistent. We also see a progressive relation between these things. One normally starts out by asking. It asks a question. Well, okay, we have a question. We ought to seek an answer. Seek out what we need to find. And then once we find it, then we need to start knocking and open it up so that we might receive it. Failure to be persistent in prayer, then, may be one reason why some prayers go unanswered. Let us be persistent in our prayers. Remember who it is that you're asking. We also ought to remember who it is that we're asking. To encourage persistence in prayer, Jesus speaks of earthly fathers. Of course, we could probably apply this to all parents. Many of us have had children. If your children ask for a particular thing, are you going to give them something that's dangerous? No, we want to try to protect them from the danger, don't we? I'm certainly not going to give my kids scorpions. That's not what I want to do. If he is hungry, I'm not going to give him a stone to eat. No, I want him or her fed. And so, are you being evil, give your children good gifts. Now, granted, depends on how we consider evil. But compared to God, are we evil? Just like compared to God, are we unholy? He is holy. He is righteous. Compared to him, we're wicked and evil. So, that is what he's talking about here. You being evil, if you are going to, you give your children great gifts, isn't your Heavenly Father going to give you great gifts too? How much more will our Heavenly Father give us that which is good? If earthly fathers are going to give good gifts, then our Heavenly Father will as well. This is a reference to the Holy Spirit that we see at the end of this in verse 13. May relate to the promise of the Spirit. We see in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. It says here, on the last day, that great day of the feast, so there's a feast in this context here, and on the last day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So, receiving the Holy Spirit is something he would give those who would follow him. And in fact, we see that later in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. We see that Peter says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of name of Jesus Christ, and you will receive for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the promises to you and to your children, and to all those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." So Jesus, his point seems to be this: if persistence with a friend will prove fruitful, you might get something from it if you're persistent with a friend of yours at an inconvenient hour. And if earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to their children, as we see here at this section here, how much more will persistence prove fruitful with God, with our Heavenly Father? You know, we may know how to pray when it comes to saying the right things. But from this parable, we learn that we do not know how to pray unless we pray with persistence, unless we are persistent in our prayers. So important is this quality of prayer that Jesus taught it again. This isn't the only time he uses this or he makes this point. We see it again later in Luke 18. In the parable of the persistent widow, and we'll get to that in our lesson on the parables later on. But for now, remember what we've learned from Jesus as he's taught us about prayer. That we have a Heavenly Father who knows how to give. He knows how to give good gifts to his children. Are you his child this evening? As I said, those who are here, who are accountable, are his children. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. Those who are watching online, I don't know. I think most of you probably are, but who knows? This should motivate us to ask the Lord and ask him persistently. Don't give up. Keep on asking. If it doesn't come out like you like, trust in him. Trust in him. He knows what's best. Have you received the gift spoken of today in our text? You know, the Father gives his Spirit to those who obey him in faith, in repentance, and baptism. Have you obeyed the gospel this evening? Again, I think you have, but let us continue to remember that we have a friend in Jesus. We have someone who is looking out for us, someone who's taking care of us. And while it doesn't always end up the way we like, we must trust in him and know that he is there, that he is wanting us to follow him. Let us, if you have a need this evening, let us know about it as we stand and as we sing.